We are going to be talking this morning about a very important subject. And over the last several weeks, I've been extremely troubled. I've tried to conduct several online Bible studies through Zoom and other apps, and I am overwhelmed with how much religious confusion there is in the world. Absolutely floored at how much misunderstanding exists in the religious world. God gave us something that helps us to understand what His will is. He says, "Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." There is one will that God has for our lives, and it's revealed to us, but it's up to us to research it and to find it and to apply it to our lives. It's amazing when you go to book, chapter, and verse with some people, and the responses that you get are astounding. I found this guy online. His username was First Century Christian. So, of course, I'm piqued my interest. Somebody who's interested in having Christianity based on the first century as Christ would establish it. So I followed him. And as I got to learn more about him, he believes that there's only 9 books in the New Testament. He doesn't believe there are 27 books in the New Testament. And he bases this off of Marcion's false heretical gospel that says that all the other writings besides these 9 letters of Paul are somehow tampered with. I studied with some other individuals, bringing up the idea of how we are baptized into Christ. And the Bible teaches water baptism. We're immersed in Christ in the likeness of His death and raised to walk in the newness of life. And there are many out there who say all baptisms in the New Testament are Holy Spirit baptism. I couldn't believe that you can't read the passage. It talks about them going down into water and being immersed in Acts chapter 8. But yet they say that they're all about the Holy Spirit baptism. Why is there so much confusion in the world today? And the question even beyond that is, can we study to the point to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth? If we can't, then what Paul commanded is something that's impossible to do. But I'm going to ask this question this morning, and that is, can we see this book that was provided to unite all men in Christ and to give us one mind towards God and His will for our lives in the Bible, can we all see it alike in the same manner and in the same way? That is our question for this morning. If you still have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 1 and the scripture reading that we did this morning, we're going to focus just on verse 10. The Apostle Paul exhorted the Corinthian church in their infancy when they were having some struggles with division. He said, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment." In the same mind and in the same judgment. So what Paul is saying, that I want you all to agree. I am not experiencing that with people who claim to be Christians all over the world through these online Bible studies that I've been conducting. We're not all in agreement. And the reason why I know that that's even true on the local community level is because you can go on every street corner in Moundsville and you can find a different religious institution meeting and claiming to be following the Lord, but they teach contrary doctrines to what the Bible teaches. Could we be guilty of that? Yes, we could be. Even these early churches were guilty of teaching and doing things that are contrary to God's will. But let me tell you something. There's only one standard. There's only one book. He says that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. Is it possible that we all see the Bible alike? Well, the first point, of course, in the introduction is that Paul commanded that there be no divisions among us. That means that we are violating what Paul taught. When we meet here and the next church meets on the corner and the other church meets down the block, we're violating that because we're all claiming to follow Christ and we're meeting in different places. Matter of fact, I'll even get in more personal. We are violating that because there are 2 churches in town that call themselves Churches of Christ, which is whose church it belongs to. There are 2 churches in this city that do not meet together because of our religious differences. So we are violating this teaching. But who's responsible for making sure we're following the teaching? We are. So if we're following all the teachings of our Lord as accurately as we know we can, then we are responsible for that. We have to be honest, though, and we have to say at the beginning of the lesson that there are some things we'll never know about. What's heaven really going to be like? What's hell going to be like? Do we know how hot it's going to be? only by what we can read about. We'll never experience that until the afterlife, and hopefully we never experience hell. We also don't know about the second coming of Christ. There are a lot of people right now looking at the wars and rumors of wars and sickness and COVID, and they're saying these are all signs of His coming. Listen, there are certain things that would point us to believe the world is becoming worse and worse and more corrupt, and that should lead us to believe that the Lord should be on His way back. But no man knows the day or the hour of His coming. So there's some things we can't know, and there are some who have tried to pinpoint the dates and they've been wrong. We also learn in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, that there are certain things that are revealed unto men, but the other things are secret and they belong to God. God has not revealed everything to us, only the things that He wants to entrust us with. What we're responsible for as Christians is to make sure that we follow the things that have been revealed. And if you go over to 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, Paul writing to that same church, his concern was, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." This is what's happened in the religious world. Instead of taking this book as the book of God, what somebody else says is we got to have this creed and we've got to include it. We got to have this discipline. We got to have this prayer manual. We got to have this catechism. And we got to include it with the Bible. And if you don't follow what's in there, as a matter of fact, sometimes what's in this secondary means that they're including with the Bible takes more authority than the actual Bible itself. It trumps the Bible. And that's a huge problem. And that's why we see division in the religious world today, because people aren't taking the Scriptures at face value. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, go over with me there, to Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. He said this, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation," that means revealing, "that by revealing or revelation there was made known to me the mystery." It was mystery before, but now it's no longer a mystery, it's been revealed. "As I wrote in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you might understand," no, "you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, but it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit." It's already revealed. There should be no reason why you can't stand in the will of God. So what's the issue? Well, that's our task today. We are warned otherwise. If you go to Matthew chapter 13, go over to the book of Matthew chapter 13. And it says here in the passage, verses 14 through 16, Matthew 13, 14 to 16. "In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they can scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return.'" And what does it say God would do? "And I would heal them." But some people's hearts are so dull that they can no longer see and they can no longer hear. And He says, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." I hope that we're hearing and seeing the will of God today. Finally, if you go back to Isaiah 34 and 16, it says to go back and get the book of God and hear the words of it. To go back and listen to the book of God. But I want to turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Listen to what he says. "Be diligent," or other versions say study, which is the same thing. If you're diligent, you will study, "to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed." And what does he say last? "Accurately handling the word of truth." You see, I would venture to say that the first point we could make is the reason why we have religious differences and differences of opinion and belief is because people do not accurately handle the word of truth. They won't take it at face value. They want to put their own spin on it and their own version on it. And so here's the outline. We're going to talk about to see or not see the Bible. Number two, to understand the Bible. How to see the Bible alike. And then we're going to close today with why the Bible is misunderstood. So I hope you'll join me on the journey and have your Bible in hand. Most of the Scriptures we're going to study together today will be up on the screen because we do have a lot to cover. But I don't ever believe in preaching without covering a lot of scripture, because that's what we're here to do. We're not here to preach Mark's ideas. We're here to preach the Word of God. So to see or not see the Bible, let's talk about that. First of all, if you want to get those passages ready, Acts 2 and Acts 4, we're going to look at this. If we see the Bible at all, we have to see it alike. You can't look at the same sentence that I'm looking at from Jesus' words and interpret it differently. We've got to see it alike. That's what Paul prayed for. That's what we understand is the truth. There's only one way to see it. Okay? 2 + 2 = 4. If you're a mathematician, you know you can't change that equation to make it equal anything else. It is what it is. And God's Word says what it says, and it means what it says. And it is possible to understand the Bible alike. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. It is possible to understand the Bible alike. Look at these verses with me. They were continually doing what? Devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, which was revealed by the Holy Spirit, right? And to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And look what it says next. And all those who had believed were what? Together. They were together. Now keep reading. And had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with how many minds? One mind. They had one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals how? Together. They were unified, able to sit down and have a decent meal together because they were all of one mind with gladness and sincerity of heart. Praising God, and this is the point that I want you to see, having favor with all the people. When was the last time that the church was so unified that it had favor with all the people within its community? Jesus said, by your love for one another, they'll know you're my disciples. Perhaps that's why this church was so successful. And it says the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let me tell you, if you're that unified, everybody wants to be a part of that. Everybody wants to be a part of the unified body of Christ. But when we're divisive, and when we spat, and when we separate from one another, people don't want to be a part of that. Because it's not the Lord's will that we act that way. Let's keep going. In Acts 4:32, a very short passage, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Just one. One heart, one soul. They weren't divisive. They weren't split. They weren't set apart against each other. So let's take a look at a couple other passages. Here's what we're going to learn from these verses. We are commanded to see the Bible alike. We are taught to live in harmony. We must be like-minded and one. And we must hold true to what is revealed. How do I know this? Well, take a look at the verses. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind toward one another. The same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly, and do not be wise in your own estimation. Here's where people go wrong. They take that second manual and they think, I'm going to be wise. I'm going to write something that really trumps Scripture or goes above and beyond what Scripture has said. And they bind it in a book and say, you have to follow this too. That's being wise in your own estimation. You should humble yourself. You should be one who's willing to realize that you don't have it within yourself to guide your own steps. And turn to the Lord and be of one mind toward one another. He says in Philippians 2 and verse 2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, and intent on how many purposes? One purpose. Intent on one purpose. We continue on in Philippians 3:16. However, let us keep living by the... here's the key. Look up here, everybody. Let us keep living by that same standard by which we have attained. Do you see where the unity of one mind, one spirit, one soul comes from? It comes from abiding by the same standard. And the standard is God's revelation, is God's revealed word. Consider this. Jesus prayed that we would all see truth alike. And Jesus prayed that we would all be one. Christ is not divided, as was read in the scripture reading this morning, and therefore we shouldn't be either. We shouldn't be divided, and neither is the Spirit of Christ divided. Let's take a look at these scriptures. It says in John 17, I think you'll be impressed with what Jesus had to say in his prayer right before he left this earth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me, how do we come to believe in Christ? Through their word, through the preaching of the gospel. That's how we come to know him, that they all may be one. It happens through the standard, through the word. Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I said earlier, how is it that the early church had favor with all the people? Because the world believed that Christ was actually sent by God because of the way that they conducted themselves. Don't miss this truth. It says, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them that they may be one just as we are one. The Lord intends for us to have the unity that He and the Father have with each other in the body of Christ. Is that what we see happening in the religious world today? Not at all. And I'm not going to skirt around the issue. I'm just going to tell you straight up what we see in the religious world today is absolutely contrary to what God teaches in His Word. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 1, 12 and 13. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul. Let me put this into layman's terms for you. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Pentecostal. What do they mean when they say that? Well, they say, I follow somebody else's man-made tradition, or I follow somebody else's way of thinking on the Scriptures, not necessarily what the Bible actually teaches. Because if that's not true, why would they have a confession of faith that accompanies the Bible? Why would they have a catechism that you have to go through as a person who is a part of that church in order to be qualified as a member? Think about that. It's not according to the Scriptures, but according to man-made teachings. He goes on and he says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. So some people are of Christ, but other people are of all kinds of different beliefs and following different men. Has Christ been divided? What's the answer to that rhetorical question? No, Christ has not been divided. He's one Lord, one Savior. He says, Paul was not crucified for you, was he? What's the answer to that question? Of course not. Christ was crucified. So it's through His blood and through His mercy that we come to know God. He says, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Certainly not. We're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. According to Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And so we do not claim to follow other men's teachings. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Let me ask you a question this morning. How are we called? Does God have some voice that shines through the clouds and calls you? No, we're called through the Word of God. We're called through the Gospel. And He says, walk in a manner worthy of that calling with which you have been called. With what? All humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Now let me stop for a minute, because we know how the world today is using the word tolerance and tolerate. It doesn't mean that when I see you walking in contrary to God's will that I just accept you for who you, in that condition. That's not what it means. What He's saying is, be willing to bear with one another. If you're going through something, I'm going to help you along, brother. I'm going to get you to where you need to be. That's what it means to be tolerant with one another. Give some people some grace for a period of time until they come to know God the way they should. And it says being diligent to preserve what? The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit comes when we abide by the teachings of God's Word, not by anything else. Not by anything else. Point number two, understanding the Bible. Take note of these passages. Mark 16 is where we'll begin. If we cannot understand it, why preach it? You ever think about that? Why are we spending so much time having preachers get up in the pulpit and prepare lessons and preach God's Word if we can't understand it? It doesn't make any sense. The Great Commission, where we were sent to the world, was to preach the Gospel. And we cannot pervert or preach a different or another Gospel. And thirdly, we are intended to understand the mystery of the Gospel, as we've already addressed partially this morning. Take a look at these Scriptures with me, please. It says in Mark 16, 15 and 16, He said to them, some of Jesus' last words, go into all the world and preach the Gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. So belief is faith, and faith in what? The Word of God. Faith in Christ and what He reveals in His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't have faith in Christ unless you agree on the Word. He goes on and he says this. Galatians 1, Paul wrote this. I am amazed, and so am I nowadays when I see it. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ. For what? For a different gospel. Can you believe that there's different gospels in the world? The Bible only says there's one gospel. But look at this. Which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and they want to distort the gospel of Christ. They distort it. They twist the scriptures. Now keep reading. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, what's the end? He is to be accursed. And I double underlined that so you could see it. He is to be accursed if he preaches something contrary to what the Bible teaches. As we've said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, again he says he is to be accursed. So all these people who have decided that they're going to start their own movements and their own denominations and their own way of thinking about what God's will is going to be for that particular group of people, they better be prepared to answer for how they're conducting themselves or how they have conducted themselves. Because there's only one Lord, one church, one way that we need to follow. It says in Colossians 2, 2 through 5 that in their heart, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been, I love this language for those of you who might knit. Doesn't it take time to weave those things together to make it what you're ultimately making? He says, having their hearts knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from a full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. A true knowledge of God's mystery. That is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive arguments. Let me tell you one of the arguments that people will make. They'll say, Christ did all the work on the cross. There's nothing you can do. And yet Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That we have to repent of our sins, that we have to confess Him with our mouth, that we have to remain faithful after we obey the gospel. But there's nothing you can do. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even matter what you do after you obey the gospel. His grace is so amazing that you can live in sin for the rest of your life after accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior in your heart by saying a sinner's prayer, and you're covered. Don't worry about it. Let me tell you what that is. That's somebody deluding you with a persuasive argument. They're focused on the love and mercy and grace of God, but they're not teaching the truth of the Bible. And we need to beware of those things. We need to beware of those things. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your what? Good discipline. That means study and be faithful to attending the services of the church. Be committed to your walk with Christ. Good discipline and the stability of your faith. You're not one of those people who's going to get suckered by some guy who's twisting the scriptures. You're going to stand firm on what you know to be true. Point number three. How do we see the Bible alike? How are we going to do this? Is it a task too great now with how far gone the community is? Well, the Restoration Movement people did not believe that it was. Whenever they went through a period where the church had been tampered with and doctrines had been twisted for so long, they came up with the idea that said, you know what, we're going to take the Bible for what it says. We're going to let the Bible speak where it speaks and remain silent where the Bible is silent. And people from all different denominations started to come and search the scriptures and became New Testament Christians. It's not an impossibility. You know what it is? It's too exhausting and too tiresome for us to take on the task. And that's why a lot of times we just ignore the issue. Somebody brings up a doctrine that where they're clearly trying to woo you over with a persuasive argument. You know what we do? We just walk away because it would just take too long for us to work through it with them and try to get them to see what the Bible teaches on the matter. And we ought not to do that. We ought not to just agree to disagree, because that's what a lot of Christians are doing now. We're agreeing to disagree. We're happy with our little church here at Cedar Avenue. And if somebody else holds some false doctrine out there, then they'll just hold it to their own destruction. And brothers and sisters, we've been called to correct and to turn people back from the error of their ways. How do we see the Bible alike? Take a look at these verses with me. We must see the Bible for exactly what it says. We're going to move through these rather quickly. We are to speak as the oracles of God. We are not to add to the revelation, nor are we to take away from Scripture. Listen to these verses of Scripture. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, whoever speaks, including me this morning, I hope you see that I am speaking the oracles of God, everything's backed by Scripture, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Another version says the oracles of God or His revealings. You shouldn't be speaking unless you're speaking the truth. Acts 20, verse 20, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. When I see the word profitable, let me tell you what comes to my mind. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that a man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished for every good work. Paul said when he went house to house and taught them publicly, he did not shrink from declaring to them anything that was profitable in teaching you. And then he goes on to say in verse 27 of that same chapter, I did not shrink, that is, go back from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Everything God revealed, I taught it to you publicly and from house to house. We also read in Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32, whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do, and you shall not add to or take away from it. Let me tell you what we've done with this add to or take away language. Some people say, well, that's in the book of Revelation, isn't it? And that's just talking about the book of Revelation. We can't take away from or add to the book of Revelation. Listen, this has always been God's directive. If He reveals Scripture, don't tamper with it. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. He said, you be careful to do what I command you. And that's why when we get to this passage and we go over to 1 Corinthians 4, 6, Paul says things like this, that you may learn not to exceed what is written. You mean I can't do something that's outside of what is written in this book? That's exactly what it means. Don't exceed what has been written for your instruction. We must be careful that we don't do that, so that no one will become arrogant on behalf of one another against the other. Now, in 2 John 9 through 11, it says, anyone who does what? Goes too far. There's a limit. There's a limit. Anyone who goes too far and does what? Does not abide in the teaching of Christ. What's the consequence of not abiding in the teaching of Christ? He does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. That's what the New Testament teaches on that. But yet all the time I hear, this is one other thing I've found on my online studies, people saying, these are just my Islamic brothers. There is nothing brother about people who are following a totally different book contrary to the teachings of God's Word. The Quran is not God's Word. Muhammad was not a prophet of God. Mark that down. And people are saying things like, well, these are my brothers. No, we are only brothers because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us. And we do the will of our Father in heaven. That's what makes us brothers. Never, ever forget that. Again, this passage I quoted earlier, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. I testify to everyone, who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city written in this book. You can't take away from and you can't add to the revealed word of God. Finally today, thank you for your attention. We're going to ask this question, why is the Bible misunderstood? Why the Bible is misunderstood? And I think the answer to the question comes in these verses that we're going to look at that are going to teach this. The Bible must be our only spiritual resource. The Bible has all that we need for salvation. Some people simply do not love the truth. Some people simply do not love the truth, and some refuse to hear the Bible at all. As soon as you get the Bible out and you say, let's look at what God says, they'll come up with some excuse for why they don't need to follow and why they don't need to hear what you're saying. Listen very carefully to these scriptures that are found in God's Word. One we've already addressed, but not in its entirety. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. You see, when you study the Bible long enough, you become convinced of the things that have been revealed. Knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from your childhood, you have known the sacred writings which are able to do what? To give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. But where is that salvation found? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Have you put your faith in Christ? Because if you haven't, you're still outside of Him. You're still outside of Christ, where all spiritual blessings can be found. He goes on and he says this, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You want to know what's good in God's sight? Study the Scriptures. Study the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received, and if you mark in your Bibles, underline this phrase, it says, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. There's one faith. Jude verse 3 says, there's contend earnestly for the one faith that's been delivered once and for all to the saints. And he says, you have the same kind of faith as ours. But how many different faiths do we see in our religious community? By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now mark this down. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to what? Life on earth. Here I am living. How do I govern my life? God's given us everything that we need for life, and what else? For godliness. Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. And where do we gain a knowledge of Him? Right here, in this book. That's where the knowledge comes from. If we're outside of the Scriptures and we're operating in opinions and traditions and how I feel and how you feel, we're going to mess up. We're going to mess up terribly. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 to 14. With all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, why are they going to perish? Because they did not receive the love of the truth as to be saved. I told you there are some people who don't love the truth. And here's the passage. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not do what? Believe the truth. That was the problem. But they took pleasure rather in their wickedness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through what? Two things. Look at it. Sanctification by the Spirit and what? Faith in the truth. There it is. The Holy Spirit will sanctify you, but you have to put your faith in the truth. And if it's not there, there's going to be a problem. It says it was for this He called you. How did God call you? Did He tap on your shoulder while you were outside working in the yard? No. He called you through the gospel. And not a tampered version of the gospel, but the one that's been revealed in this book. That you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you've been a good audience this morning. Bear with me as we look at a few other scriptures. And we'll wrap up. Paul told young Timothy, who was a preacher of the gospel, in 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 5, preach the word. What's the value of preaching the word? Nobody's going to hear it. Now listen. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, which means when they don't want to hear it, you still preach the word. That's our job. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with great patience and instruction. Patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will what? They will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the truth. They want to do their own thing. They won't endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. We'll find a preacher who'll preach what we want to hear. We'll get somebody who'll just make us feel fuzzy inside. Is that what we're here to do? We're here to learn. We're here to understand what the will of the Lord is. And sometimes the will of the Lord, even though it does make us feel good, it requires great change. And repentance, and a turning of our ways to His path. And there are some people who don't try to turn anybody away from what they're doing. They'll just say, oh, you want to live in the homosexual community? Fine. We won't ask you to change your view on that. We'll just start accepting people in that sin. That's your lifestyle. God loves you. End of story. There are churches doing that. There are even churches that are appointing people to stand where I'm standing today to teach their people who believe that they can live in that sin of homosexuality. It's a huge issue that we're dealing with. Let's keep looking. He says they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and they will turn away their ears from what? The truth. They turn everybody off when they're preaching the truth. And they'll turn aside to myths. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Keep on going, Timothy, in spite of what everybody else says and does. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, writing to the same young man who was an evangelist for the Lord, he said, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith." Now I want you to listen to this. I grew up as a Catholic. And every Friday we had to abstain from eating anything but fish. And their priests who were a part of our church, Father Keller and others that were in our church as a young boy at St. Paul's, they weren't allowed to get married. Now I want you to listen. Now think about that in light of this verse. In later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Look what it says. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. When I saw that passage as a young man coming to faith in Christ after being a Catholic for all of my youth, I was like, there it is. There it is. I mean, it's plain. It's right in the scriptures. But yet to this very day, priests are not allowed to get married and people aren't allowed to eat certain meats on Friday. Where did they get that teaching from? It's not in the book of God. It's a part of the traditions, the lowercase T in the Catholic faith. The big T is all that the scriptures teach. Those are scriptural traditions. The little T is what man decided to add to it. And those are just as authoritative as what we read in the Bible. Isn't that scary to think that we can add another book alongside of the book of God? Let's keep reading. I want to talk about accurately handling the word of truth. When we talk about the Bible, did you know that there are two different covenants in the Bible? This is what we mean when we talk about accurately handling the word of truth. I'm doing studies online with people, and they're going to the Old Testament to prove their belief about Sabbath keeping. About how we should still worship on Saturday and have a rest day on Saturday. Listen, Jesus said, "I'm Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for the man, not man for the Sabbath." You got to know that there's two different covenants, an Old Testament and a New Testament. You also have to know that there's a law of Moses and there's a law of Christ. Two different sides of the spectrum. We don't offer animal sacrifices and burn incense anymore. Why? Because it's a part of the old law. Now we're in Christ. We understand He's the ultimate sacrifice. And our prayers are the incense that rise up before the throne of God. All those things that happened under the old law were shadows of the good things to come in Christ. That's a part of accurately handling the word of truth. And there's so much more to that that we could explore. But I want to tell you the importance this morning of preaching the gospel. If you look around, there's a lot of churches of Christ throughout the world. But there's also a lot of denominations in the world today. These are denominations that were founded by men that came up with their own laws and their bylaws and creeds and other teachings that the church was to be governed by. They even have councils and synods that oversee these different churches. We don't have a headquarters as the Lord's church. The Lord is our divine master and the one we follow. But we also have many world religions that are now making a surge and a push. One thing I was overwhelmed by as I did these online studies is how many Islamic teachers are online pushing the Quran. What is our only hope, brothers and sisters? Our only hope and our only boast is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Did you know that the Quran teaches in Surah chapter 4, verses 157, that Christ was never crucified, that they used a substitute, that Christ never actually died by crucifixion? That's our only hope, is Christ and Him crucified. And yet I bring that up all the time with these guys, and they just they go right past it onto something else. They don't want to hear it. It's a false teaching that's way too late and has a prophet that was never called by God. We have to realize that if we're ever going to be saved, We need to be a part of the blood-bought church of Christ. We need to be in His body, the church, because that's the bride that's going to be saved out of this world. He's the Savior of the body. And I want to ask you today, if you're one of those people listening and you have never put on Christ, you've never followed the Lord's teachings for what you need to do by hearing the gospel, by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then being immersed in water. They're ready. The waters are ready to be buried with Christ in the likeness of His death and raised to walk in the newness of life. If you've never done that, today's your opportunity to be added by the Lord to His church, to know that you have a good conscience before Him. If you're here today and you are someone who has not continued in a faithful path with the Lord, as we talked about in Bible class this morning, we're not here to shame you. If you come down here, we're going to lift you up. We're going to encourage you. We're going to pray for you. And we're going to ask God to forgive you of any wrongdoings that you've committed in your life. And God will forgive. God will forgive. We want to help you today to do the will of God. And so the last question I have for you is, how can we help? If you take your songbooks and you open up, this is not the creed, by the way, it's a songbook, but I was using it by way of illustration. In 320, will Jesus find us watching? When Jesus comes to reward His servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to Him, will He find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? If you're subject to the gospel invitation this morning and you want to make a change in your life, we invite you to come down to the front while together we stand and while we sing. It's called